2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Side. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. As always, a pleasure to have you with us for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. First thing on a Saturday morning, always have to record the playback as live, as we say in the business, coming to you this morning, and hope you enjoy. It's going to be a perfect weekend. Temperature-wise, we're going to be in the lower 80s, nothing but sunshine, no chance of precipitation. Does look like that's going to change to start the week, however, so keep that in mind going forward. Tim Hughes sitting in my home studio today, along with Russ Smith, who is making a guest appearance on the show this week.
It's good to be back.
It is good to have you back.
I had a rough time the last couple of weeks, and I'll say what it is. It was bad medication.
Yeah.
You don't ever know. When you're an experimental patient, you don't ever know until you start taking the stuff whether it'll work or not. And no, the side effects were worse than the problem.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you. You look good.
Thank you.
Glad to see you're back on your feet. Thanks. Business, I know, has been keeping you hopping.
Oh, man. You know, it is very busy, but we are just now coming off of the busiest time of the year. It's nice and not nice to have phones sitting back, you know, ready to go.
Yeah.
But now it's not, we don't have to worry about do we have enough phones. We're all over that until Baja.
Yeah. Navidovskis is also with us. He's in his compound up there in, Sugar House, in Kaysville. having a little lunch.
I love the term compound.
having a little lunch before you have to head back over. One of the things Russ did not talk about is he now has a motorhome in his driveway, too.
It's in the driveway, Mike.
Wow, that's awesome.
We're tearing it apart right now to put new floors in and a new dinette. And we're just going.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Pretty soon,
it is fun.
Pretty soon you're both going to have to check in with me from the road.
I hope so. No offense, Tim.
That's all right.
Yeah. Unless you come with.
Well, if I can squeeze enough time off work while you two are vacationing and retiring, I might actually do that. You just got back from Southern California. You went on a Ute trip, right?
Yep, I went down to watch the Utes lose there in L.A.
Well, you didn't have to put it that way.
Well, it was true. Like Gail said, we had three shows, and that one was the worst.
Yeah.
We had a comedy show on Friday, and then, of course, on the last day, we had Hamilton. And she liked both of those. The Ute game was the only disappointing thing.
Had you seen Hamilton before?
I had not. You know, it's been a hiatus with COVID, and they just opened. So I was trying to find it, and, of course, I found it in the same town the Utes were playing in. It's a perfect match.
Yeah. Could you understand all the hip-hop all the way through?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I've watched a little bit of it. I haven't watched the whole thing on Disney Plus because I really want to see it live. But the last time I was in New York City, I think the ticket price was somewhere around $700. So we passed on that. But I just had a hard time keeping up with it until I got dialed in on all of the rap that was going on.
Well, you know, I know the story well. I know how it goes. I know what to expect. And yeah, it just, after a while, you're just totally used to it. You kind of forget they're even saying that in that capacity.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and you also got a little earthquake to wake you up down there.
Yeah. Yes, we did. It was actually quite fun.
Yeah. All right. Here's what's coming up on the show today. Speaking of being on the road, Mark Waite is still out there. He could not join us today, so I caught up with him yesterday. And in the next hour, we'll share a couple of segments with you. Russ, you'll appreciate this. He posted pictures from Moraine Lake. And I'm trying to remember, when you made the motorcycle ride with us up to Banff, did you go to Moraine Lake with us?
Yeah,
I did. Do you remember?
I did. That's a smaller lake than Lake, what was it?
Louise,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lousy parking there. I remember that.
Yeah. An unbelievable view.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
With that long range of mountain peaks that are behind that, what do they call it, glacier milk water.
Right.
And so anyway, I talked to him about his first experience to go up there to see that with his wife. And they also took in Lake Louise while they were there. They made the drive, Navi, the same drive we made when we went to Revelstoke and when we went on the ski trip up to Banff. And I had told him that they were in for a real treat from that drive between Revelstoke and Banff. And, boy, he just raved about it.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. Great course. We had the benefit of driving through those avalanche tunnels, and I couldn't imagine what it would be like without those.
Yeah. No, that was part of the experience for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll check in with him with a couple of segments. Also had a chance yesterday to catch up with our our waterfowl coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, Blair Stringham, and talk about the impact that the drought is going to have and is already having on the waterfowl season that is coming up. When you flew, did you fly or did you drive? You flew.
Oh, yeah. I don't drive. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah. Did you take off over the Great Salt Lake and take a look at the lack of water out there in Farmington Bay?
Unbelievable. And I've seen it before, but it's worse now. It's not even a lake anymore. It's just a spot.
Yeah, and it's a different perspective when you see it flying in or out of Salt Lake International, and that's one of the things that I talked with Blair about was just how that's going to complicate things. Because obviously these birds that are making their way through on their flight migration are going to be looking for water to rest on, and hunters are going to be looking for that water for the ducks to land on, and it's going to concentrate ducks, it's going to concentrate hunters, and we just don't know, quite frankly, how it's going to go. So we'll get his take on all of that coming up. Russ, you'll have our camp spot of the week, although I think you're still trying
Gunlock
to figure that
State
out.
Gunlock State Park.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've been there.
I probably have in the middle of our state park trip.
It wasn't dark yet. It was after Snow Canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know how it is for me.
I know.
When you bring up anything to do with our state park trip that was 24/7.
This will help you remember.
Thank you.
They had just put up a new rock sign out on the street for Gunlock State Park.
Nice.
You don't remember?
No. So you'll remind me of that
when you pull it up on your computer there, you'll see it. You'll say, oh, I remember. There's some history behind that.
Yeah. And then, Navi, you'll help us out with Fish Bites, correct?
Correct.
And we look forward to that. Before we take a break for news of the week, and I want to give us a little extra time on the other side, I just have to share this story that came up on one of my Facebook pages talking about a Colorado man that has invented a new ski hybrid sport. And the very next picture is of him taking a face plant in some nasty dirt and rocks. I'll let somebody who was on the trail try and describe it to you here.
Zach, what are you doing?
Well, just coming back from a hike and saw a guy cruising down the mountain on a pair of crazy roller skates. I don't know.
Peter Randall is the guy doing this.
Mountain blading, mountain rolling, whatever someone decides to call it at some point.
He doesn't have a name for it, but it's, to put it simply,
rolling down a mountain.
He hikes up, straps his feet into, well, he doesn't know what to call these either.
Big bike tire skates, mountain rollers.
And then he lets gravity take over.
Just try to stay in control and, like, keep going down, stay up. Look where you want to go. Keep riding.
All right, look, I'm up for most adventures, but this just looks like it's a way to get hurt. Navi, to describe it to you, it kind of looks like you slide your feet into the beginnings of a ski boot, but there are little wheels on the back, bigger wheels on the outside with spoked rims,
And then you go with ski poles and just try and make your way down the mountain, bumping off of rocks and sand.
Yeah. You know, I'm gravity friendly too, and I like going downhill. It's why I love skiing. But the truth is, when you eat it, you slide, and there's lack of friction. You just keep going, and then it gravitates till you're fine and you're healthy. But you go down in the mud, the dirt, the rocks, the bushes. Does not sound fun.
No,
I don't think that's going to cut it. He's just cutting right across the mountain on these things, and.
He's not going to get rich on this idea, I guarantee you. Anyway, if you want to see what we're talking about, just go to our Facebook page, which is KSL Outdoors Radio. Guys, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk, since we're sort of talking about getting ready for the ski season, a couple of notes that have been passed along from various resorts. Megan Collins checked in with me today, as a matter of fact, from Snow Basin. But there's word from Vail Resorts on what their COVID protocols are going to be, and it's good news. We'll tell you more about it when we come back. News of the week.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right. It is time for some news of the week this week, and thanks again for joining us. Tim Hughes in studio here in West Jordan, my home studio, along with Russ Smith from Sky Call, and Navidomskis is still with us here. Before we talk about skiing, I just have to throw this in because this news came out today. A little disturbing. I mentioned we were going to talk about the drought's impact on our waterfowl season that is coming up right around the corner. This headline caught us today as we were doing Utah's morning news that there's a 1 in 3 chance Lake Powell will not be able to generate hydropower in 2023 due to drought conditions. That is a 34% chance on some of the projections. Now, the new modeling shows about a 3% chance that Powell may drop below the minimum level needed to allow the lake's Glen Canyon Dam to generate that hydroelectricity next year. But in case you didn't realize, you know, what this means to those downstream, it distributes about power to about 5.8 million homes and businesses from Nebraska to Nevada.
Wow.
So there's some big concerns down there. And obviously, we can't do much about it. We're relying on Mother Nature. And fingers crossed, Navi, that we get an early and an often snowfall this year.
For every reason imaginable. But you have to think that it is pretty crazy that we're using what is the American desert region to generate hydroelectric power.
Right.
And in fact, it is the most sunny place. They probably should go a different direction with a little solar, because I don't know that we're going to have water anytime in the future either.
The solar thing kind of hit the toilet. You look at the solar factories, actually, the solar plants that they've got in Nevada, and they're all in disrepair, and yeah. I don't know what happened.
Well, I know up in Wyoming now, they got those, what was just grasslands forever, and they had, like, you know, sheep on them. Now they're just giant fields of solar, and they move subtly as the sun goes across.
So, right.
And I guess that's definitely something that they could always do there. Even in the winter, the sun's going to shine.
Right. Yeah, well, we hope that's the case. It's still something they're trying to figure out. And to your point, Russ, it's the cost right now in manufacturing. Right. And you've got places like China that are continuing to make those solar panels a lot cheaper than they can be made here. And it's
8 out of 10 solar panels come from China.
Yeah. All right, let's talk skiing here for just a minute. I got a nice note.
Yay!
I got a nice note today from Megan Collins at Snow Basin, and we'll probably connect with Davey Ratchford up there, who is their general manager right around the corner. A couple of things as it pertains to Snow Basin, and one is that they're increasing the number of spaces, parking spaces. They're going to put another 431 free spaces for the upcoming season, which is welcome for those of you that have been there lately. But they're also in the midst of construction of their new high-speed six-pack that's going to take the place of that fixed-grip middle bowl triple that is there on Mid Mountain.
You like it's all about that? Time.
That won't make any sense to you at all, will it?
So what? They're going to give you a six pack? We'll say that again.
There we go.
Well, they're going to get more of you up the mountain faster. How's that?
They need to do that.
Instead of a triple chair, it'll be a six pack. So theoretically, it should get you there twice as fast. They're also going to be expanding terrain, adding some new lifts, upgrading from some infrastructure, and have that all available. Some overnight lodging, too, by the way, by 2024 that people have been yearning for a while.
Yes, they need overnight lodging. Hey, also got a hot tip from a ski buddy that Nordic Valley lift is actually worth our time. He says it's bigger, it's faster, and it's actually really fun, and we need to do it. So let's make a trip to Nordic Valley this year, Tim. We got to try that run.
Yeah, we haven't been up there in a while. We've talked about doing it, but just never made the trip. Here's the other thing. We got a note, and I passed this along to you, Navidauskas, because I knew you'd be excited about it. No reservations required at Park City or any of the Vail resorts this year.
That's awesome. It's so convenient to just say, hey, I'm going to go skiing, or I can't go because I didn't make a reservation. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's funny. We call it convenient. It's the only way we ever knew it until the pandemic came around. Yeah. They are right. They're still going to require masks at indoor places, but you don't have to have reservations to get on the mountain, so they're going to be running all of their lifts full speed, full capacity, which is good news. And it got to be a little tricky for you, I know, Navi, because you have condos up there that you use a couple of times during the season, and you always had to make sure you could actually get on the mountain to ski.
Well, they only let you do so many in advance events. And we had more nights than we had opportunity for events. So it's really scary to think, well, I'm going to be there and I might not be able to get a lift pass. We were always able to. And it turns out there was a lot of cancellations. But, you know, me and my online inability, I hated it.
Yeah, it was difficult to navigate. Becky's still waiting to see what Snowbird may or may not do with reservations for the mountain and for parking up there. She's a little afraid that part of it may not go away when it comes to getting up to Snowbird and Little Cottonwood.
She's right on that. The parking is perpetually problematic, and I don't think that parking is going to get any easier anytime soon at Snowbird.
Yeah. Quick note about Snowbird that you have until the end of this month, so the 30th, with a $50 deposit, get a discounted rate on your season pass that comes with some other perks. And it's the 50th year of Snowbird, which I guess I should know, and maybe I did. I just forgotten. But they're going to be doing a lot of celebrating up there. And if you want to take advantage of getting the best price on a ski pass, you need to do it by the 30th of this month at snowbird.com. And while I'm at it, you might as well do it face-to-face at the counter up there while you're enjoying Oktoberfest, because it winds down in a couple of weeks. And if you're up there, have you ever gone or been lately, Russ, to Oktoberfest?
No, it's been a while.
You should go back up.
Yeah.
The entertainment is first class.
Always good.
The food is so great. And every afternoon at 3 o'clock, I think it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jeff Kaplan's been talking about it. The Alphorns are up on Hidden Peak.
Oh, nice.
And you can actually take the tram up,
Yeah. Enjoy
a little Alphorn concert, and have yourself some schnitzel. If you want to, you can wear your Lederhosen. I've been saying it wrong all these years. And feel like you got away to the Alps without even having to leave the state. So
you know, the best part about Oktoberfest is it just goes on and on and on. It's not like one day. It's like whenever.
Starts
every day.
Starts the middle of August, goes till the middle of October. So it's August, September, Oktoberfest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so get up and enjoy. All right, just a couple of things, notes there for skiers. Let's take another break. When we come back, we'll make a connection, hopefully, with Roger Eggett at Bear River Lodge. He's been crazy busy up at the lodge. They had a water leak that required him to dig up, I think, half of the parking lot.
Jeez.
And so he's had backhoes working up there along with some other stuff. It's always something with what he's got to do for both tracks and for Bear River Lodge, which, of course, sponsor this program each week, and we appreciate it. News is next, however. Stay with us.
If you've
been around the corner.
Here's
a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.